hit me. I dare you to hit me. Hit me so I could be ugly just like you. Bitch, I fell out.
When you choose to be a mother, you choose to shape the world. In time, children may leave the nest, but true mothers never leave the heart of their children.
FX's hit series Pose is the queer family show we've longed for. It is a chosen family complete with mothers, fathers, and children who display incredible courage, humor, and love while struggling to survive and make art in New York City in the early 90s.
Today, Mother returns, Vivacious. New York club kid legend and RuPaul's Drag Race favorite joins us to take a look at the very touching season finale of Pose.
Plus, why club performers in the 90s didn't mix with the house queens.
How to read someone to filth in real life.
And Judge Judy and RuPaul, Kiki, and the latest issue of Interview Magazine.
I'm Fausto Fernos.
I'm Mark Fillion.
And this is Feast of Fun.
Feast of Fun is made possible because of fabulous people just like you. Thank you. Unlock a delicious world of podcasting magic and listen to thousands of amazing shows at feastoffun.com/plus.
Hello?
Hello?
Mother?
Uh-oh, it's the FBI people who
It's ICE coming for you. Yeah, ICE to see you.
Oh, girl. What a season finale of Pose, honey. It got my panties all twisted.
Well, for a split second,
I thought they were going to pull a, you know what they do in most movies and start killing off people?
Yeah.
I thought it was going to be one of those. I'm like, bitch, not Blanca.
I know. She was there in her little hospital bed all sick and dying. And you're just like, you will come back from this.
But the reality is a lot of people were impacted by HIV and AIDS in the early 90s.
That's the reason why we lost 90% of we lost 90% of the most colorful people who could have painted the world into a better place, unlike Michael Kors, because he didn't have what it take to be as fierce as them. But we lost so many of those icons back then. Now we're stuck with him. It was like the leftover mediocre back end.
What did Michael Kors do to you?
I'm just saying, if you knew the type of designs that were coming out of a lot of these designers back then, who over the years, I remember at one point, I forgot what year it was, I think it might have been 1996 or 1997, that a few of the fashion houses had literally, and their investors were like, we might have to start testing our designers to make sure they didn't have HIV, because we don't want to invest in them and have them die on us in the middle of them trying to make their stuff a fashion week. It got very much like that was on the news at one point, and I remember watching that on Channel 11.
Wow, that's incredible. Well, I think that would, you know, it'd be against the law now, but I wonder if it would be against the law back then.
What would be against the law?
You know, to have access to somebody's health records like that, right? Well, although if they were investing in your company or something, you might have to disclose, right?
It was on the news where it was brought up that, you know, a couple of houses felt that, you know, that they should know the disclosure of some of these designers, because, you know, imagine, like, I remember back then just hearing so many different designers who, this was the one year that they didn't make it to Fashion Week, because this was the year that they passed away, right before Fashion Week, or in the middle of making that next big, you know, fashion delivery, and months before, days before, you know, or they just picked up the money and the whole house decided that this is the person who's going to be delivering the next season, and just passed. You know, so yeah, it was like that back then. You did not know who was going to be next.
It's interesting that the series relied on that trope of the AIDS cough, where a character goes and suddenly they're in the hospital and you're like, oh my God.
Well, we already knew she had AIDS, though, too, or HIV.
Well, to, Well, to be honest with you, when some of those cases really hit like that, it literally does start with a cough. And for a friend of mine, I won't say his name, he had a cough and the next cough actually blew out his whole...
his lungs. Oh, shit.
It blew out his kidney and liver, and everything came through his lower section. They had to rush him to the hospital, and they realized he was building up sepsis and deteriorating for a while, and he didn't know it.
Oh my gosh.
And now he literally was, well, here you are in the hospital in full ICU and full sterilization, you know, and we're going to put you in a room that has plastic around it so no one can get anything that you're having. And that happened to many friends of mine back then.
Mm. What Foster was referencing is that, you know, something I've noticed in film and in television is, you know, all of a sudden you have this character and then they cough, and then you don't know anything about them, but you're like, oh, and then the next thing you know, they have HIV and then they're probably going to be dead from AIDS.
Dallas Buyers Club. What is it? The Naked Heart? Normal Heart?
Yeah, there's the Normal Heart. I saw one pretty much recently. I'm like, how many times have we seen this? You know, I wish somebody would do like a super cut of all the AIDS coughs.
And the band played on Philadelphia. Mm. Anytime that there's a character who's about to die of AIDS, they always go, and then suddenly they're in the hospital, you know?
So guess what the actual real case of what triggers that is? The person actually ends up fainting or passing out and hitting their head on some blunt object just randomly, like pass out on the street. And that is actually, once they hit the hospital, they're like, okay, it's not so much the accident that just happened when you fainted. It's everything else that's building in the body. And that happened to about six other friends that I knew in that sense, in terms of the fainting, that once they went to the hospital, they're like, this is what's going on in your body. So I think it's harder to get a fainting done right, whereas a cough can be an indicator of something.
Mm. Yeah, it's shorthand, but I just feel like it's almost a trope at this point. And I think
writers need to
explore that a little bit more creatively.
It's hard for somebody to practice a good feint on TV. And you could be like, this is the feint.
Fetch me my nerve pills.
It's like, fetch me my faint pill. You know, it's like, it's impossible. So yes, the trope of the cough would have to be the way to go about it, because it's usually people just passing out random in places. You know, it's like, I'm not feeling so well. Next thing you know, boom, they're on the ground. And then they get to the hospital and they're like, oh, Miss Thing, the kitty cat done scratched you all over. You know, so.
Poe speaks to me so much and so many people as a series, because it not only captures beautifully life for gender nonconformists and people of color living in New York City in the early 90s, but it also speaks very deeply to the feelings of isolation and loss when you're a creative person who works in a community. One thing we've experienced in doing this podcast and doing work as drag queens, and I want to hear you talk about this, Vivacious, is when your children grow up and go off and you're kind of left with an empty house.
Yes, that kind of stress is probably what also triggered Blanca's T cells being down. Because remember, once you get it, the whole idea is to try to stay around things that are very positive for you. Think about the last episode. She's sitting there in the room by herself. The song is playing at the end. Did you not cry for her 2 episodes ago when everybody in the house was now gone and she's sitting there by herself? And from this episode said it's been 8 or 9 months later. So she's been stressed out for 8, 9 months. At that point, her body's deteriorated. You know, she's mentally exhausted. That's going to trigger what we saw went down today on that episode. So yes, it is very very stressful losing your kids.
Well, what about you? Like, you've been part of houses, you've been part of scenes. You yourself got on RuPaul's Drag Race, and imagine for your peers and your community, they felt like they were losing you.
Yes, they did feel like they were going to lose me towards a TV show, in a sense. But others also realized that technically speaking, I was at the end of one journey and I needed to move on. And you know, those ones embraced me and pushed me forward to do it.
In terms of like seeing your children grow up, like, have you experienced that as being a mother to other drag queens and other performers?
I would say, yes, I have. You know, I currently have a child in Beirut, and it's a catch-22, and I've spoken to a few people about this, and it's like, as much as I want to every day go online and speak about how beautiful he's doing in terms of, you know, the first LGBT child in Beirut, Lebanon, that actually learned how to vogue. Yeah. And he's now teaching it to other people. I don't want to go and publish his business online because I believe that me saying anything at all with the small amount of platform I have will actually put a target on his back, because that part of the world is still not fully accepting of LGBT lifestyle. You know, and I don't want to be the one that draws attention to his success, which could invariably get him killed.
But part of the struggle of being a parent in a very traditional sense, or being a mentor to someone creatively, is that they don't always take your advice. And you're like, we've, you know, mentored so many artists, so many performers and comedians and drag queens. And sometimes I just feel like I tell them, it's like, all you need to do is listen to your own episodes on this podcast, because you have an amazing ability and a creative spirit inside you that is not something anyone can imitate. And as long as you draw from that well of inspiration, you will always have new material. You will always grow as an artist. And I notice, and sometimes it frustrates me to see people that have fled the nest and they're doing the same bit 5 years, 10 years later. And I'm just like, Why are you sort of masticating on material from the past? Move, evolve,
make something
grow.
New, right?
Yeah. I don't want to call anybody out in the names, but it's like, to me, it's like when it crushes me inside.
That's
to some
how
degree.
Some performers are, especially like if you're a comedian. A lot of comedians, they will work that 30-minute set or that 1 hour set that they've had for 5, 6, 7, 10 years, you know?
Like they Ellen DeGeneres doing the joke of being pushed into the lake to be taught how to swim, yes. Got to the point that it became like unnerving, you know, like, okay, we know you had this trauma. Move on, girl. It's, you know, that was like 20 years ago and you're still doing that joke.
Some people love their comfort zones, but also some people at times do not realize that they are running in circles. Like, for instance, even right now for me, I do feel like I'm still running in a slight circle, because it's like DragCon in New York is coming up. Yeah. And I'm sitting there going, girl, I don't have a costume for that prepared. And it's also because I don't have any money to have a costume made. And I can't sit there and play keeping up with the Joneses for these other girls. I don't have Trixie Mattel's money.
Well, call her up and ask her for some money. Just do what I do.
Sweetie, I'm not that type
like, Trixie,
of person.
Trixie, send me $1,000. She does.
I have a little bit of self-respect for myself.
But innovation and evolving as an artist.
Well, you'd call her if you actually had her number, though, wouldn't you?
And no, I'm
not.
I can
give you her number. I had her.
I'll give you her number after the show.
But anyway, seriously speaking,
I'm not doing that GoFundMe either.
Innovation means alienating your core audience. It means risking your financial security. So I totally understand why people who are relying on the business of being performers and artists to be very scared about moving into a space that's uncomfortable for them. But ultimately, it's part of growing up. It's part of moving forward, right? And just like it's painful to see your children grow up and leave the nest, it's also painful to get out of your comfort zone and risk alienating your fans because you're wanting to try something new.
Risk taking is, you know, it's an internal struggle with everyone. Mm-hmm. Some people can shed their skin and just walk away. Other people have consequences. And I think for a lot of people, you know, risk taking also has to do with a financial background. Yeah. If you have a lot of finance, you can take risks. If you don't have that background, you can't take it. For instance, imagine if Vivacious got up tomorrow morning and be like, bitches, I'm moving to California. Y'all be like, what, bitch? I mean, there are days when I feel as though I should get up and move to California, but I'm not financially stable to be doing that, because if I was, I'd probably do it just to see what it's like and see if I can change my horizon. Sure. You know, in that sense, you know, so risk taking, you know, sometimes it's good for those who can afford it. And for others, if they can't, they just go back into their mantra and their cycle. Is it a bad thing? Yes and no. But it keeps them doing something. I'm not saying it keeps them moving, going forward. It keeps them doing something.
Mm-hmm. Pose really speaks to me also because I am a gender non-binary Latino person. And I imagine for you, like, also seeing your community in New York City represented beautifully and lovingly by Ryan Murphy and Janet Mox and Lady J's writing is really something astounding. You know, it's very satisfying to see these characters be so richly brought to life.
Brought to life. Well, because the experience is real. You're seeing there is because that is a lived experience. Mm-hmm. This is also the first time in TV history that somebody, you know, next to Paris is Burning. This is just, think about it, in what, 27 years? This is the two times that one was a documentary, this one is now a TV show, that in between that time, no one would rely on people who's lived a certain experience to put it out there in its full authenticity.
Yeah.
It's 27 years in between. Because for every movie that's out there, it's somebody else going, hi, my name is, you know, the running joke is Charlize Theron can play a black person, you know, because she's from South Africa, you know, or whatever. But it's like, you know, in that sense, it's like the people who should be playing those roles do not get to play those roles, and we do not get to see that authenticity, and Pose gives us that. So it's a wonderful experience to see it in that sense, you know. So that's the reason why we've all fallen in love with the show, because everything that's going on Pose is something that all of us can relate to within the last 20 years. The story is very adjacent to us.
Mm-hmm. Electra Abundance, who's played by Dominique Jackson, is probably one of the most satisfying and electrifying characters. Every time she reads someone to filth, everybody is like on the internet quoting her and stuff like that. You've run among the same circles as Dominique Jackson. How similar is she to her character in real life?
Well, she has the height. I'd say that much, but she was never, you know, but in terms of her being like that out there, that was never her. That's all a character based for the show.
So she's a lot more demure in the interviews. And I'm
sweetie, she's a very humble, lovely woman. So I do believe that this might bring out a new side to her. But in all honesty, to tell you the truth about it, everything about her character, not just the line reads, the costumes are iconic. She's always got a look. She's always got a read. It's like, think about this. For the next 20 years or so, everything that she's done on Pose is going to be a meme somewhere online being used to read somebody back at some point or another. It's going to be in drag shows with people quoting her lines, you know, and I think that is wonderful.
People of color from the Caribbean who live in New York City are really well represented on the show. And to me, you know, I think that's like a really interesting approach to telling these kind of character stories that doesn't necessarily like is people are aware of. You know, these are people from island cultures who are living in New York City. And that's a different sensibility.
Well, Manhattan's still an island.
Well, I'm talking about the Caribbean specifically. And Mark, you say that like the reason that Vivacious and I kind of get along with each other is because
you're island girls.
We're island girls. What do you mean by that?
No, that's not true. That's not true. I get along with everybody. Well, except for this.
But the two of you get along especially well. Well, you guys are both like, you know, you're both chatty.
No, I get along with you too, bitch. Don't try it.
You do get along with me.
Except for when I give you a stone from that island where you come from, bitch.
But I guess, you know, part of it is like...
Go back to Hard Island!
Growing up in Puerto Rico and Jamaica is sometimes... There's a couple of things that, like, we see... We get excited when we see... The name of where we come
it
from.
It is
in
true
the news.
when you know that there's somebody from your neck of the woods. You're like, yes, yeah. It's true. Yes, Mark, you're absolutely correct. It's true, because it's so funny. Everyone calls her Dominique, and in my head, I keep having to make the switch between this new name of hers and the name that I've grown up my whole life knowing her as. So I nearly just screamed out her other name instead. But it's like, she is friends with my other friend that's from Trinidad, and they are from the same island, and they all gel so well together.
Yeah. So Dominique Jackson, she's from Tobago. Is that right?
Trinidad and Tobago. And so is my best friend, Patty Cakes.
And so Dominique Jackson for a long time was a regular in a lot of clubs performing.
Yeah, she was a Crash Folly. She was an Esquilita showgirl. Yes.
What was her act like?
Well, it was anything that she wanted to perform on stage.
Because I could see her lip syncing to Sade.
I'm sure she has. Might have been a day that I wasn't there.
I was at the grocery store and they were playing Sade. I'm like, this sounds like Dominique Jackson's voice. But the great thing about Dominique Jackson is that she's so wonderfully, like, awkward. Even when she's trying to, like, channel Pray Tell. And spoiler alert, you know, at the end of the season finale, tables are turned and Dominique Jackson reads Pray Tell to filth from his own podium.
Well, I wouldn't say it was really a read. He really did look good. I mean, he did get a 10-10-10-9 from the last, Pendarvis that was on the panel. And that was just done in that shade, you know, just to get him back, because the ladies don't always get their 10s when they go up, because it's a male run, you know.
Sure.
It's a male run ballroom scene in that sense.
But the origins of ballroom and came from drag pageants where, like, in the film, the queen, actually, right?
Yes.
There's a queen who didn't win.
Yes.
Crystal LaBeija.
She doesn't equal me.
In the film, the queen, there's a drag queen who doesn't win a pageant. And she's like, I'm going to start my own pageant system. And that's what sort of gave rise to the ball scene in New York City. By the way, Queen is up in theaters right now. It's been remastered and it's in 4K. And the really exciting thing about it is because the original film has been remastered, you're seeing like details and costumes and people in the movie that people didn't even aware that were there before. It's almost like the cleaning of the Sistine Chapel.
Mm-hmm. Well, the sad part is the main person who did put Queen together passed away 2 years ago.
Mm-hmm.
So that's a very sad. It would have been nice if she could have benefited financially. Crystal LaBeija was the one that was reading, but the whole thing was actually put together by a white queen.
But it was the House of LaBeija that sort of
started the ball scene.
Started the ball scene in New York City.
And yes.
So I don't understand how the ball scene went from sort of being a trans and female dominated scene to begin with, and then it became male dominated, and now it's much more diverse.
I'll tell you why. It's the same reason how the switch just kind of happened recently between drag clubs being dominated by trans women to now being taken over by drag queens, because RuPaul Drag Race end up switching the narrative to a certain extent. Madonna's presence in ballroom nightlife switched the scenes from trans dominated to male dominated, just so you know.
But like, I think that we're looking at Pose is that, you know, there was a lot of trans women walking in it, but like the people that were judging it, the people that were the MCs were all men.
It's an emulation of culture.
Mm-hmm.
So Madonna's Vogue came out and it became a very, very big thing. All of a sudden, it prompted a scene that was more trans-driven to now make people go, let me stick to the boy role instead and enjoy it from this point of view. Mm-hmm. Even though we still have our sisters there, but they now ended up taking the more I guess they stepped up in terms of like the role and the leadership in terms of I'm going to be X, I'm going to be Y, I'm going to be Z. And the girls were kind of like pushed to the side, as you saw in tonight's episode.
What would you make out of that Freddie Mercury, forgive me, folks, the Freddie Mercury fag who fucked up Angel's career by ratting her out to designers? It's like, where's Poppy? Okay. Why is he fucking hold his on, shit hold up?
Hold on. Y'all want to hear some freaking Kiki right now?
Yeah. Yes.
He actually moved in next door to me where I live, right? And he's right across the apartment from me.
The actor who plays him.
Yes, I could literally go bang on his door and be like, Foster wants to talk to you, bitch.
Yeah, you wake his ass up. That's crazy.
Yes, isn't that crazy?
Oh my God.
And I only met him 3 weeks ago when he was coming out the elevator and we were talking. And then last week when I saw the commercial, I saw his other roommate. I'm like, Miss Thing, he's in the next episode coming up. He's like, yeah, I know. I'm like, work, bitch.
Is Peppermint still living in your building?
So I was looking, as a matter of fact, Peppermint just came to the door to get her keys for her apartment. 5 minutes before you called me.
Girl.
Who else is famous living in your building?
That's about it. But she was also with, I'm sure you've seen a picture online of a trans lady that says, stop killing us. She was naked and it's written in trans colors. Mm-hmm. She has it painted all over her body. Mm-hmm. Well, her name is Mila Jam and she was with Peppermint at my door.
Oh, wow.
So,
I was a little bit nervous of this final season finale that somebody was going to get murdered and somebody was going to die. And part of it is like, we just love these characters so much. It's hard for us to let them go.
That we want them to live forever. But the reality is that's not the case. So, for instance, I just finished Copenhagen Pride. And one of the questions they asked me was, which house would you have been in, or which house were you in, or are you a 007? And I had to tell them that
007 inches.
Bitch, shut the hell up before you get kicked in your left foot. You better make sure you keep that section and we all said before he get kicking his left foot. So I had to explain to them that up until the death of Willie Ninja, I never had a desire to join a house because the houses were that competitive and shady. And you could possibly end up getting sliced during a fight from another queen, because if you joined one house, if you were three friends and let's say you joined one house and the other joined the other house, by the next week when you came to the club, you were not allowed to talk to each other anymore.
It's like Romeo and Juliet, right? It's like
that friendship was over permanently. Mm-hmm. And it's like, I never wanted to be in that position. So that's why I never joined a house. And so, that's why when after Willie passed away, for the first time a few months later, I think it might have been like 8 or 9 months, I remember being on social media and hearing the word. No, I went out to a club and I heard the word extravagance. And I'm like, what the is that? And turns out it was the extravaganzas and the aviances decided to team up and do a night together, which has never happened because those two houses hated each other for filth.
Mm.
So that's how the club queens and the house queens put the divide down at the death of Willie Ninja and did a show together.
Right. Yes. In terms of the Vogue and Children. Yes. Because that's really what brought it all together.
Extravagance. So is that your house? Do you have a
Hell
house?
Hell no. I don't do houses.
Because you're 007. You're a spy in the house of love. Now, people ask, why did not more club queens get involved in the house? And that's kind of the answer, because people are asking, like, where's RuPaul? RuPaul was around in New York in 1991. And I'm like, RuPaul can't be in every TV show.
Where's Lee Bowery?
First of all, to be into a house, you have to be invited into a house. Mm-hmm. They don't just let anybody off the street come into a house. You are invited into a house, the same as how you are invited to go to the ball. It wasn't open for everyone. Open balls for everyone now was something recent. And even when Amanda Lepore and Kenny and them showed up with Susan Barsh at the ball, it's because somebody from the upper parts of the ballroom scene was like, yes, we'll have them come. Mm. but it wasn't a thing that happens all the time. But also the balls were not private in that sense either, because on any given, remember I said Dominique was part of the house of Esquilita. Mm-hmm. Well, Esquilita was a club in New York City that they had balls every Wednesday, or I think it was Monday nights.
So Esquilita was the famous Latin club, right? They closed after like 30 years. They closed like a few years ago, yes. Right? And didn't the guy who owned that, wasn't he found dead or murdered or something?
He was strangled, yes, by probably one of his Johns or some shit on 39th Street. So
New York nightlife sure is tough.
It'll strangle a bitch to death.
Now, was it fun to see Patti LuPone as Frederica get to that the slammer?
The Orange is the New Black treatment.
it was, because I'm going to tell you why. For a lot of people in the LGBT community, that's the first time of justice being served against somebody that's done something against us. So I'm sure everybody reveled whenever something like that went down back in the day, because, you know, it's rare that the LGBT community ever gets justice.
Well, the other thing that's interesting too is, like, you know, she talks about how, you know, being how hard it is for a woman and how she's not respected as a woman, and she's like she doesn't want to spend time in jail, but she also feels bad because she crushed another woman's
one
dream.
Other woman's dream.
And so
it's nice to
hear her validate
that, and that recognition and the recognition of of Blanca's drive. You know, it's true. That was a lovely Section 8 here. And one of the lines also tonight that really struck me, it says, "The world doesn't change, people change."
Is the Ford lady in real life, was she as nice and cool and with it?
I think in the real world, she had actually represented Wilhelmina Modeling Agencies, because that was one of the, you know, one of the major ones back then that, you know, children were trying to get to Vogue, get to.
Well, there's Ford Modeling Agency. Is that what she's supposed to be from?
Yeah.
That was a big name, too.
Eileen Ford. Yeah.
Yes. There was Ford and Wilhelmina. So everybody was trying to either get into either one of those two.
But I guess I just want to know, like, if the real life Eileen Ford was as visionary and wise.
Yes, she did. Because
she comes across in this series.
Just so you know, many trans ladies ended up walking in many fashion shows around the world due to her. Connie Girl from New York City ended up walking for many years. Portia LaBeija, which passed away 5 years ago, was one of the main models in Europe for over 15 years as a trans woman, and one of the most legendary females to have ever walked. You know, Tracy Africa, you know, was in commercials way before her time, you know, doing stuff. So, yes,
well,
there have been.
Angel's kind of based on Tracy Africa's career. You know, right? Because Tracy Africa was a Clairol. Was it Clairol? Or she was one of
Clairol.
She was a hair, you know, for the hair dye. And then she was outed as being trans and then lost all her
which
work.
Right.
But then, like, years later, I think it was probably 3 years ago or something like that, they brought her back. And, you know,
they started giving back her recognition.
Yeah, and she still looks fabulous. And she's just been like,
Dominic Jackson wakes up in the middle of the night with a photo of Tracy Africa in her mirror, and she's like, "Don't you come for my gig, bitch." That's how good she still looks.
Dominique is quite fine, honey. Let me tell you something. That is one woman who is not afraid of another success, because she has been supporting everybody for years.
Yeah.
Okay. She has been supporting so many of us for years unwaveringly in terms of her, you know, the type of person who she is. So this is the universe giving back to her. The sad part is, with her life as her being a trans lady, you know, her family just being from a backwards country in terms of religion and not open-minded, you know, she doesn't have the familial support. And even right now, I think some of them are trying to come around, but I'm like, girl, watch your purse, bitch, because they're only coming to see if they can kill you and get your money. Because they were never down for the cause. They were never down for you. You know, but it's grinding them that every time they turn around, you're getting larger and larger and larger than life. You know, the other day, I was in the airport, and it had been a while since I checked on her Instagram account. And I think the last time I checked it, it was like at like 97,000. And I remember before that it was at like 47. And I'm like, damn it, they're not giving her the proper douche that she needs. Child, I opened up the app the other day when I was coming from Copenhagen and saw 247,000. I went, yeah! And I screamed because I was so happy for her. You know, yes, I wish if I had those numbers myself, but I'm like, yes, bitch, get your recognition. She deserves it.
You're talking about her fan following on Instagram.
Yes, I was so happy for her to know that the numbers went up that high. So happy.
Well, that's an interesting thing, because for a lot of trans women in media and entertainment, they are always feeling pressured and debating how much of their sexuality and their bodies they use, especially on Instagram. Carmen Carrera this week posted a very touching testimonial about how she wants to reclaim trans women's sexuality and bodies, and that's why she posts.
She needs to keep quiet. What? She needs to keep quiet. I'm going to tell you.
Well, let me finish what I was going to say, and maybe, then you can weigh in.
Hold on. Listen to what she has
to say, and then you can weigh in on it. Her point is making is that a lot of people shut her down and not even consider her as a model because she is like trying to celebrate her body on Instagram.
Okay, let me tell you, that's why I said she needs to shut her mouth. I'll tell you why I said that. In all the times I've known Tyra.
Tyra? You mean Carmen Carrera?
Sweetie, I'm not here to talk about that right now. Okay. In all the times I've known Tyra, who is Dominique, that you all know as Dominique, she has never once used her time frame online to try to sell sex.
But I think we want to give people the ability to do that if they want to.
She's never put herself in that position to go, I need to show you and sell you sexy for you to follow me.
Girl, she just stands in a truth of myself and get 300 likes and views, and people, no one's batting an eyelash. And I think it is a double standard that trans women get criticized and scrutinized so much for doing the same thing that, you know, some guy at the gym does.
That might be the case, but at no point did Tyra ever do any of that to get numbers.
So Dominique is best known to people in the scene in New York City as Tyra.
Right. Okay. That's the name that we grew up with on her. As I think at one point, both names were listed on her profile simultaneously. So that's why I said to you, it's so hard. I'm still getting used to the transition of going to Dominique. Because in my head, I hear the name Dominique. I think of another Dominique that's also a trans lady that's an actor and a model that's traveling around. So in my head, to hear the name twice, I'm like, okay, which one is which? You know, but yes, Dominique. So I think in my head, sometimes I say Dominique Tyra Allure.
Oh, that's interesting. Now, what do you think about the anachronisms on the show? Because we just saw a progressive rainbow flag, the one with a black and brown stripe, which has not been around in 1991. We see some queen saying fried tilapia, which is a quote of Gia Gunn from RuPaul's Drag Race. And even like, they know my tea. The term tea for truth is something that's a little bit newer, isn't it?
No, tea's been around for a long time. Well, like wind tour is coming, you know. It's a little tongue-in-cheek.
Right, because it's based on Game of Thrones, and this was the season for all that frenzy, you know. Yes. Mm. So, remember, this is not a show that's based on... that each line of the show is based on full nonfiction. Sure. It's still a show that's still based on both, you know, true and false. So an anachronism doesn't make or break a TV show. It just helps add to the fantasy of it.
Mm-hmm. I just am a little concerned about people relying on a television show to learn about LGBT history. Mm. And I hope that the show actually gets people curious to watch Paris is Burning if they haven't, and The Queen, and read books and articles about life in the early 90s for a lot of these people.
How about just go find your older LGBT elders and speak to them. They like to.
We're talking to you right now.
Mm-hmm.
They like to. Bitch, you want some knuckles. 470 years ago, I would have put you in a box on Pine Island, bitch.
Heart Island. Pine Box.
Heart Island.
How do I read people the filth like Electra Abundance in real life?
Well, you got a good script writer.
No. Also, you need to understand something. So the reason why the old school queens will dominate in this new era of a Trump, you know, mindset rising and it won't bother them is because to live back then, it means that you had to take the word F to your face. You had to take the word tranny to your face. You know, you had to take every negative word to your face, and you had to know how to survive it and stop sitting and whining and crying like a 2-year-old child because you can't, you know, have somebody curse you out. Reading, as they say, is fundamental. Every day in the ballroom scene, the only thing that these queens did to each other, whether male to female, female to male, male to trans, or trans to male, was read the living tar, filth, and shit out of each other every day. And that's what made them so good when it came time to read when somebody else came in front of them and tried some bull with them. Because they've been reading each other for so many years that there is nothing you can throw at them verbal-wise that they will not destroy you with. And they also have the thick skin to, you know, water off a duck's back. You could not hurt them.
Part of it is understanding the motivation of the person you're wanting to read. Mm. So it's not enough to just say you're stupid, you're an asshole, or you know, insult them on a superficial level. It's
reading goes beyond that.
It's about targeting their secret desires and
their vulnerabilities, all of it.
So you have to have a really good understanding of their psychology.
Well, and you also have to kind of have like a poetic mind. You have to understand what's, you know, like a simile or a metaphor so that you can kind of really put this stuff into its place. Because if you just like say like statement fact, then it's not very interesting. But it's that certain play of words and how they go against each other.
Years ago, I was in Tunnel. This was 1996, before I transferred to the Sound Factory and before Junior Vasquez picked up his other residency over at Palladium Nightclub that Peter Gation owned. And I remember two queens were reading the shit out of each other by the bar, which is right when you come into the club. Mm-hmm. And the taller transsexual said to the other one, "Go ahead, hit me. I dare you to hit me so I could be ugly just like you." Bitch, I fell out. Do you understand the severity of an old school queen giving a read like that? And you're like, oh my, let me tell you something. The whole club fell out. She said, "So I could be ugly, just like you." Bitch!
That's good. And did she get hit?
Oh!
Then she hit her.
And some of the old school queens, right? They are the types that'll read you so fiercely, it'll take you like 2 weeks before you actually realize they read you the filth.
I've had more beatings than you've had breakfasts.
Uh-huh.
I said that the other day at work, and the person was like, "Really?" I was like, "You don't realize I'm quoting Pose. Get out of here."
That really speaks to you. Why does it speak to you so much?
Because it's important to value the struggles in life as a source of strength.
Kind of like what Electra said last week, for the fact that we earned our right to sit on this table and it scares you. Remember when they were at the restaurant out of the Hamptons?
Go get your clam chowder before a clam chowder gets you.
You know, and you know, it was one of those lines, you know, and it makes so much sense when you fight for it. Mm-hmm. It's harder to erase that person that's fighting for it than the person who just has it automatically because they've never had a struggle for it.
Yeah. Mm. And here's the actual quote. "God may have blessed you with Barbies, a backyard with a pony, and a boyfriend named Jake, and an unwanted pregnancy that your father paid to terminate so you could go to college and major in being a basic bitch. None of these things make you a woman. Your uniform of ill-fitting J. Crew culottes, fake pearls, and 50-cent scrunchies cannot conceal the fact that you do not know who you are.
You are.
That's going
and
to the core.
I've heard from other trans people too, and that's where a lot of this rage that some people have towards trans people is, because they see this trans person and they're just like, this is the person who's becoming or is what they want to be, but I don't know who I am, and that's where a lot of that rage comes from.
So there is a black male who, you know, made it public many months ago or maybe a year ago that he loves dating trans women, and he had a trans girlfriend. Well, the community that he was around was just kept on harassing him and bullying him that today he committed suicide.
Oh, that's terrible.
And so, you know, like even the whole today, even though I was making music, there was just this sad, melancholy energy in my heart, because it's like, it's bad enough that, you know, trans women are being targeted left and right by this new rise in let's attack them when they least expect it. And then to know that the men who support them, if they come publicly out, you know, and in support, they are now being bashed left and right to the point where this beautiful young person took his life. Mm-hmm. It's like, it hurts so much to have heard that news today that I literally had to like turn off all the lights in my room and just stay in darkness, in silence.
Mm. That's why, like, an actor like Angel Bismarck Curiel, who in real life is in a romantic relationship with Janet Mock, who plays a Poppy.
And Janet is one of the writers for the show.
Yeah. It's important to draw attention, to celebrate, and to acknowledge the people in trans cisgender relationships as much as any relationship.
You want to hear something funny? So I've been on this trans site for many years trying to find straight boys because I date straight men. And it's so funny. Within the
T for the D is what I say, huh?
I like straight men. Mm-hmm. And I have my reasons why. Recently, it's like all these men have never, ever once posted in their profiles. It always says, what do you want to, what are you interested in? And they wouldn't always leave that section out. And all of a sudden, now you're on the site and all of them are like trans women, intersex women. And I'm like, oh, really? Where did this uptick in, you know, being out front saying you're looking for a trans? So, you know, the language is slowly changing, you know, that to know that on these trans sites, so to speak, that the men can now be a little bit more bolder in their mission statement to say they are interested, because I've been on the site since about 2010.
Yeah. Mm.
And I've never seen so many. They've always left that section blank.
Hmm.
And for me, you know, I say on mine, I said, I'm a CDTT TV. I like, you know, X-dresser illusionist. I like to put it on and take it off. I don't lie in terms of, you know, what I am.
Yeah.
I don't say I'm a trans woman. That's a profile. That's a big, and I have that in capital letters. And so they still come a knocking, but even though they come a knocking, it's not like I then take them home still and be like, well, here's my address. Come, you know, but it's like, I like to talk to them. You know, I'm looking for the perfect one in that sense. I thought I had one, but then, you know, it turns out he was just trying to figure out how to put on a dress himself and steal all my clientele.
Oh, you know, I have a friend in Pittsburgh who does that stuff. She dresses up like men and boys. She does the whole forced feminization, and she does photo shoots for these boys, girls.
He snatched all my children, honey. He snatched all my edges and left me standing there with an empty account. I said, how dare you? Now he's back in the construction. I contacted him the other day. He's like, you want to hang out? I'm like, no, bitch, you ate from all the cookie jars. We're good. Keep it to yourself.
Vivacious, what's in the works for you? Because DragCon is just around the corner.
I just literally finished my last touring show for the year in terms of going to a country. And I am forever grateful for all the opportunities. But in the process, what most people don't know is I've also been teaching myself to produce music. Mm-hmm. The thing with producing music is it's very hard to do if you're traveling every other week to another country. Mm-hmm. Because A, you can't bring the equipment with you. When you travel to another country, all you're bringing with you is what you need to get the show done. And between the traveling and the jet lag and staying in the airport, you're not in the proper mental space and brain space where you want to be productive with music. So I physically, I'm putting this out in the universe and I'm hoping it gets manifested. Dear universe, I would like to spend the next 8 months at home not traveling so I can work on my music to get it out. Because the reason why I also need to get it out is because there's not going to be a Drag Race Thailand season two. There's also which is about to start on the 21st, which is tomorrow on I think it's iPlayer or something like that for World of Wonder. Drag Race UK is also about to begin, so that now puts more people on the playing field in terms of work and bookability. So I need to get my content together to be out there. Mm-hmm. So for me, since all the Drag Race girls normally do top 40 music, I'm doing what my style of drag looks like, which is vintage old school house. Mm. So I'm out there producing that stuff. So that's what I'm, you know, I have a track called Welcome to My Groove. I have a track called GAY, which I also call, it's called Generations Ahead of Yesterday. Fierce and Gorgeous, okay. Gorgeous Over Time is out right now on iTunes. And right now I'm currently, the money that I just got from Copenhagen is the money that I'm using right now to pay for my pins for DragCon, pay for my, my fans for DragCon. Tomorrow I'm closing the deal with the Blaine Center in terms of giving them the boot schematics for how I want my boots set up for DragCon, etc. And then that'll finalize that. But then I still have to contact my good friend Fausto to get me some images made up to make for pictures for DragCon.
Do you know your booth number?
My booth number is 962.
962, folks.
962. Boof.
Let me turn on my light and look, because I think I was looking at it earlier today. I think it's 962. Oh, Lord, that light is bright. Oh, I was in the dark the whole time.
Why do we call it boof and not booth?
It's boof. B-O-O-F. Boof.
Boof. Boof number 962.
And RuPaul just announced season 5 of All Stars and season 12 of Drag Race is just around the corner.
Honey, so season 12 got to bring in some pose energy into it if they want to stay
Well, I think Ru was asked about it recently and she was just like, I've never seen the show.
Ru better watch it.
You've never seen what?
RuPaul's bragging about how she's never watched Pose, and everyone's like, well, you better get a television set and sit down and get,
The reason why RuPaul didn't watch Pose was because RuPaul was on her way. Now, yes, my booth number is 962. It's a double booth. So double. I'm thinking of selling her.
Thick.
It's a double.
Double wide.
Double stuff, instead honey. Of, two dicks.
Instead of me getting a single this year, I thought of getting a double. But now that I'm like, maybe I should sell half of my boots. So if somebody wants to buy half of a booth for DragCon, please get in touch with me. You won't spend the full price at this show.
Do you need some help regulating the crowds at your booth?
No, I already have the four people situated for that. I have two behind the counter and two online, etc.
They'll be like, do you have a ticket? Then you may not meet Queen Vivacious.
You may not pass.
You shall not pass.
Well, you know, the difference between me and all the other queens is I think all the other people have a minimum to meet me. You don't have there is no minimum. You just have to purchase anything at my table. And, you know, you could wear an ornate head for $10 and take a picture with me.
The lowest price entry is $10.
Yes.
You're like Bernie Sanders of drag queens. You're like, you're about the people. You're about equality.
I like to meet the fans. I like to meet them because, you know, without them, you know, yes, I'll still be here as an artist, but their support also helps go a long way. So I'm looking forward to that in that sense. So,
and you won't say no to someone taking $100 bill and shoving it down your tits.
Bitch, I will take them in the bathroom and have Ornacia give them glory, glory, hallelujah.
You're like, kids, I'm going to close the booth right now. I'll be right back.
The booth is closed for the next 15 minutes. Yeah, I'll be right back.
Step a little glory hole there, too.
For 100? That's pretty quick.
Well, you know, I'll try to get it done in 3 minutes and get back earlier.
I heard that some of the drag queens at RuPaul's Drag Race, like, got pretty cheeky because some of those booths are like enclosed and you can like have sex inside there and no one will notice.
I never knew that.
That's the word on the street. I don't want to name any names, but you know, like one of the assistants got busy and it's like so you know, shit goes down in those booths.
I mean, how big is this booth?
Well, they build a little wall, you know, so you can't see inside it. So it's like a room, and then you enter the room, and once you close the door, honey, anything can happen.
Now, are you going to be doing what like a lot of the drag queens do? Are you going to have like a little seat so you just sit all day, or a little chaise lounge?
No, I like to stand and hug everybody. I will put on a pair of flats covered with matching fabric to match my costume, but I stand all day because I don't believe in sitting down to meet my fans. They shouldn't have to bend down to come see me. I'm hugging everybody. It's a standing
day. It's
okay
if they bend over, though, right?
No, because, you know, they're women. They are families there. You know, one of the things that I love about DragCon is I love to meet the parents who bring the young children.
Yes.
Because to me, those parents are my true heroes because they didn't have to get up on that day to come. They didn't have to get up and bring their kids, but they do. And so I respect them so much for that, you know, to bring their young ones to meet us, mm-hmm. you know, clowns in paint.
Mm.
If you had to name a house, like if Vivacious had a house and she had a name, what would you name it?
Oh, that's easy because it's actually the other part of it's the silent part of my name that I don't talk about often. And it's the name that really, really defines who I am as an artist.
Jaws?
It would be the somebody kill that faggot. Just put him in a blender. throw him out the window with a bat.
He's my husband. I can't do it. What's the house name?
The name would be Entity.
House of Entity.
Wait, how does Vivacious, is that like Entity is part of your name?
Yes.
So your full name is Vivacious Entity.
Yes, which is the part of the name that I don't always talk about. Yes.
I don't need to hear about the rules. I made the rules. Auntie Entity.
Damn right. Yes. Yes. So the reason why my name has always been Vivacious Entity is because look at my costumes. They're not something, you know, every time somebody walks up to me, it's like, what are you supposed to be? I'm like, why do I need to be something that you can easily reference? Mm-hmm. Why can't I be something that's completely original thought?
Mm. You've been a stealth Tina Turner, Mad Max Beyond a Thunderdome drag queen all this time.
Entity.
On yes. Entity.
Two men yes. enter, one man leaves.
Yes.
Two men enter my mouth.
Two men enter, one man come. Two men enter, one man come. So my name Entity is spelled N-T-T.
Oh, it's like energy.
Right, like NRG,
yeah.
Because NRG is what describes what I do for a living, but Entity is what you see.
The House of Entity.
Which, you know, the name, the House of, no, not like that, sweetie, just Entity.
Entity. I don't need to hear about the rules, I made the rules.
Right.
Master.
That might be my next track, so be careful.
So what you're saying just is you know, energy from pig farts.
Shut up, bitch. Yes, and I sell them on discount at Heart Island.
You know that Tina Turner, that was her like her only film role that she ever did, and they were like the studios were super nervous about casting her, and she's like, "I'm Tina Turner, I can do anything," and she just showed up and. Read them all to filth, owned that studio and did it, and she was done.
But not only that, that movie is now a cult classic
oh, yeah.
because of her. You know, her being anti-entity, performing We Don't Need Another Shiro, you know. just so you know, when I first learned music, when I first started learning music production, I had taken a master class on a program that I was using called Maschine. It's a German music production Groovemaster hardware integration thing. The first track that I ever tried to produce was Tina Turner, Sections from Bartertown. And if you go on my SoundCloud page, you will hear the full track. Who runs Bartertown? Master Blaster runs Bartertown.
Hey, I want to do a shout out to Timmy Capello. Do you know who that is?
No. Hi, Timmy.
He's the bodybuilder / saxophone player who is in played with Tina Turner throughout the 80s and 90s, and it makes a cameo appearance in that music video.
Oh, wow.
That music video and Tina Turner and drag and the future auntie entity, that was all kinds of good. It's like, for a little gay boy like me, I was like, I loving that.
You want to hear something funny? So the question is, what artist turned you gay? And so the other day online on Facebook, I said, we all agree that it was Madonna, because Bedtime Stories and everything she did back then, it's like she pushed us out the closet. When I heard the track Deeper and Deeper, bitch, after I heard that track, I fell right out the closet. So technically speaking, all my trials and strife and tribulation, Madonna should be paying my therapy fees for, because she's the one who turned me gay. So what track pushed you out the closet?
It was the song Rome by the B-52s. I was like, the universe is open, and roam where you want to, and be as gay and queer as you want to be. And it, to this week, actually, I became friends with Fred Schneider on Facebook, and he says that as soon as his schedule opens up, he's coming on the podcast.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. And he'll be like, hello, Fausto. Hello, Mark. This is a podcast. Mm-hmm. Okay, thanks for talking to me. Bye. So I don't know, but he's still working. He's still touring. It's amazing. The B-52s, Fred Schneider, Kate, and Cindy.
Of course they're still performing, you know?
They were doing a show, and they had a person dressed up as a lobster.
Oh, like Rock Lobster.
Katy Perry's.
I used to dance to Rock Lobster in high school, the school dances. Yeah.
Well, you know, Lady Keir, I think this year is 56 years old, and she's still performing. Mm-hmm. There is no such thing that you stop. As a matter of fact, for the first time in history, I did a tour early in February 19th in Mexico, CDMX, and the name of the tour is called Mandragora. And for the first time in history, they're going to have RuPaul down there DJing. So it's proof that, you know, just because you're older, it doesn't mean that you stop doing what you're doing. RuPaul is, for the first time, is going to be in the human plane performing.
Did you see
in drag? RuPaul's going to show up in drag and perform? And
she performs. She's a DJ and as a man, darling, we know this. They don't make them beats. And also, did you see those four new pictures of RuPaul?
Oh, yes.
In new wigs.
RuPaul is no longer blonde. She's dressed up as a sexy redhead. Mm-hmm.
Delta Work posted a few weeks ago, it seemed as though that she might not be on the show anymore.
As a makeup artist on Drag Race?
Delta Work, there's been like some ongoing something between her being on the show or not being on the show. But then the guy who, so I met this guy named Curtis Williams, and he was he was styling Kelly Mantle's hair for our finale for RuPaul's Drag Race season 6. And Kelly was sitting next to me because I reserved a section for her. And so he's now the one who did the wig styling for RuPaul for these new pictures, mm-hmm. and she looks absolutely amazing. And Zaldi did the costumes, and it was for Interviewer magazine, and she was being interviewed by her good judge Judy Shinlin. And so it was really happy to see RuPaul. She looks so young and effervescent.
Judy interviewed RuPaul Interview magazine.
Yeah.
I didn't catch that part of it.
Yes, that's who the interview was with. You know, so it was so good to see RuPaul looking, you know, she looked so young in the face. She looked so gorgeous. And all of this came out right the same time as she just announced for All Stars 5 and season 12 of Drag Race. I'm like, work, bitch. I'm like, you've been a busy mother.
Mm-hmm. And the nest keeps getting full.
Yeah, I read the interview, and I don't feel like I learned anything really new about RuPaul, but I did learn that Judge Judy met her husband in a bar. She walked up to some dude, pointed at this other dude, and said, "Who is this guy?" Finger in his face, and the guy was just like, ma'am, get your finger out of my face." And you know, then they fell in love and got married.
That's how I met you.
But you didn't stick your finger in your
face. I said, "Who is this man? Bring him to me. I'll take him home."
She said, "Come hither."
I said, "Don't I know you from the internet?" And you're like, "Internet? What the hell is that?"
It's like, "You know me from the bathhouse, bitch."
It was a CD bar.
Yeah, I'm friends with somebody on Facebook who did the wigs. I can't remember his name right now, but he's been saying, "Look,
yeah."
The thing is,
and like, they look fabulous. It was like, really good. Can you do a wig for me?
It's like that new wig on her looks good. I'm just hoping it's a wig that can actually stay, because you know RuPaul's hair is one of those things where it has to be able to stay for many hours without needing touch up. And Matthew Anderson, he had tricks to that.
Oh, like what kind of tricks?
He's taking it to his grave. He won't share his secrets.
I'm learning a few because I bought a few videos from somebody else online. We talked about it once before.
I think, Matthew Anderson did a wig tutorial video and jazzercise video. Get firm buttocks with Matthew Anderson.
Really?
You can't lose no weight with Matthew Anderson. Matthew Anderson weighs about 120 pounds.
Well, because she's good at fitness. She's got her cardio. She's exercising. Girl, she's moving.
No. Matthew Anderson was always a twink.
She was, honey, she made RuPaul look thick.
Yeah. Definitely.
That's why she was able to design for RuPaul so much. You know, that's why they all, Matthew and Anderson and Zaldi were the visionaries who created that supermodel look.
It's not just the supermodel look. The supermodel look meaning her whole life, yes.
Because RuPaul was a very, like, club kid, punk, genderqueer.
She was very punk. Yes, all of that, all the stuff, you know. She actually put it this way, technically speaking, in the early Mad Maxes, if they had put her on the set, the bitch would have fit right in.
She was very post-apocalyptic, wasn't she?
She was very post-apocalyptic in terms of the mohawk. She was giving you Storm with a mohawk, football shoulder pads on the shoulders, all of that stuff, you know. So, yeah, she would have fit in. She would have definitely fit in, you know, in terms of one of those biker gangs chasing down, you know, that little car with poor little Mel Gibson for to get the gasoline. She would have been leading a charge in the back, bitch, trying to get poor little old Mel. She would have fit in perfectly. So, you know, but then she had an epiphany that, you know, if she went the feminine route, it would open up more doors. And to be honest with you, she's absolutely correct. Now, even though that's not my style, I can appreciate and fully bow down to her for coming up with that epiphany, because it's really true. Do somebody really want to meet a scary vivacious at a red carpet for the Emmys, or you want to meet a girl looking very, very fierce and slamming like Alyssa Edwards on a red carpet?
Mm. If my vivacious doesn't have at least 3 foam heads on her shoulders
and 5 combs, right,
I'm not happy.
You want to hear something funny? So last year I did DragCon and I had a golden into red ombre outfit on, and I had 2 ornatures on the side of my head. And you know, they did a tootin' boot for Drag Race for DragCon, and I'm like, I'm never doing one of these walk the red carpet again. So for these bitches to think that they can take my look and try to boot me, mm-hmm. I'm like, sweetie, I am not here to be one of the 5 million clones from the show. I like to be unique and stand out differently.
And
that's
do.
Just the nature of who I am. So there's no need for you to sit there and try to judge me and tell me you're giving me a boot on my look. Leave it alone. Go judge them other bitches that wear hairs that looks just like yours.
There are only 2 judges in this world. Pete Booty Judge, Judge Judy.
Exactly.
Girl.
Pete ain't got nothing to say. Leave it alone.
Vivacious, it's always good talking to you. I'm so sad Pose is ending its second season, but there's
a third season. That Pose ended. But the good news is we are now mentally geared up to watch the next season of RuPaul's Drag Race, and I'm looking forward. I hope that season 12 brings me more cannon fodder than the wet, soggy noodle that season 11 presented me, even though we had a good winner for season 11.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it just wasn't the same. I felt as though, you know, it was like a miss in terms of what was presented, you know, in terms of the girl.
It's a tough show to do. And it's, you know, part of it is like with reality TV shows that you've been doing for 10 years, you want to keep the show exciting and new, but also satisfy the expectations of the fans.
Well, I think if you really want to satisfy the expectations of fans, judge drag according to drag, not because there's a narrative or a spin story that you want to sell to the world instead. Mm. People like authenticity of things. We've just seen that with Pose. So let drag be authentic in terms of what drag should be. And then you'll get the real energies that can manifest itself that'll make people really, truly love watching drag again.
Mm. Well, and I tell this to people who do their own reality TV shows. It's like, if you want the contestants to do a certain assignment, describe the assignment well. Otherwise, like, they're going to interpret it in a very basic way, and you're going to be disappointed. Yes. And the folks at home are going to be disappointed.
Right. It's true.
Give clear instructions and people, you'd be surprised at how creativity will flow.
Right. You know, and you know, don't put a girl on the show just because she's pretty. Don't put her on the show just because she has Instagram
followers.
So you mean
I actually stand a chance on being on RuPaul's Drag Race?
No.
Yay!
No, you don't stand
season
a chance.
Season 13, Fausto's the queen.
Bitch, more like season 30. Put a bitch on the show that has already been through the trenches, that knows what drag really is. Not because she's doing drag because a TV show prompted her to do drag, but because she's already been performing for years. Put those bitches on the show. Let them
slide. Honey, I was a drag when RuPaul started dressing up in drag. I was a drag on television before RuPaul was a drag on television.
Bitch, I've seen your makeup. Don't go there. I've seen your makeup.
I saw your makeup in 1991, too. How dare you judge me by the past in the present standards? What was that music video, Mark, that Vivacious was in?
Oh, with Laura Branigan?
Laura Branigan. Go Google that on YouTube, and you guys tell me if Vivacious is ready for Drag
for
Race
the record,
or not.
For the record, I was doing boy drag at the time. There was no makeup on my face. That was natural, smooth, snatch skin.
Sure
hunting.
It was.
You get into it. No, I'm being very serious.
You were wearing a little eyeshadow like Spock.
No, nothing.
Just a little bit.
No, nothing.
Nothing?
I won't.
Not even panties.
No.
All right.
No.
I believe you.
I was doing boy drag
Queen's
back then.
Queen's honor. Witch's honor.
This bitch's honor. I should know what I was doing back then.
Laura Branigan says she has the receipts.
So do I, bitch. I was there with Missy Understood.
Oh, that's right. I could call Alex and have him tell me all the dirt.
There is no dirt. We went on the thing. We had fun.
Oh, Vivacious, it's always so much fun to kiki with you.
Same here. It's been a hot minute.
But you can follow Vivacious NYC on Instagram.
And you can see her at Booth 962 at RuPaul's Drag Con in New York City at the Javits Center on the weekend of September
6th, 7th, and 8th.
6th, 7th, and 8th.
Honey, that's just around the corner.
Yeah.
That's like 2 weeks away,
it's,
right?
It's
3 weeks
just,
away?
Bitch, don't.
And
don't
you say,
stress me.
Feast,
start
the
sewing.
Feast the Fun sent you? She'll go, who?
That is not true. I was like, what? Okay.
She'd be like, I don't know her.
It's like, no, it's like, put on my Mariah Carey, my Mariah Carey shades. I don't know her. Who is she, though?
Mm-hmm.
Who is that queen?
To be honest with you, I wish if this was like the first year of DragCon, I wish if you all were coming this year, to be honest.
I'm going to try and get there if I can.
Smuggle himself up there.
If somebody needed some help with their booth, I might get an excuse to go there.
Sweetie, I don't pay a lot of money for my booth in terms of the girls that are helping me.
Honey, okay. It's a volunteer position.
That's okay.
It's a volunteer position.
It's a Walmart position.
I don't need much. I just need first choice of all the hot men that come through.
You're like, I'll take this one and give him my own personal podcast in the bathroom.
Sweetie, you cannot get an exhibitor badge and then try to walk away just because you find trade on a dance floor. You still have a job to do.
That's right. You got to keep the people and you keep the coin.
I might get a media pass. I haven't written in yet to see if I can get one yet.
I think you need to, send a message to Theron and Marin from World of Wonder and get that done ASAP.
Honestly, the reality is taking time off of work for us and the plane tickets, that's the cost.
It's you trying to take off from work. I think you just started a new position over there too, so you might not be able to.
They got me chained down to the table.
Mark's like, I'll go. I'll use my phone.
Yeah, but it's not the same. You both need to be there,
I agree.
I think I could have some fun on my own.
We can plan these things ahead of time,
You know what? Maybe we should, plan for next year now.
Let's do it. Yes.
It's like Feast of Fun is going to New York City.
We're going to sleep in your apartment, right?
She's got like three roommates.
I got three roommates, BJ.
I'll just stay in Peppermint's apartment. She's never there.
She's not there. We can just stay with her, right?
She's never there. She's always just like, and I have the keys to the apartment.
Yeah, see, it works out perfectly.
Thanks, Peppermint. Thank you so much for coming, and thanks for keeping us in Peppermint's apartment. It was good talking to you. Take care, okay? Bye.
Bye. I want to remind folks that we can't talk to people like Vivacious as if it weren't for you. So if you're not a plush member yet, sign up today at feastoffun.com/plus. If you'd like to see us stay at Peppermint's apartment for free in New York City, we still need to get there. You can make a one-time donation at feastoffun.com/donate.
That's right, girl. We're going to New York City and stay at Peppermint's apartment, and we're going to film all her, go through her underwear drawer. Be like, where'd she keep her pot?
Okay, at that point, you ain't even going to get the damn keys, bitch.
Her privacy is guarded.
You
got to go in our underwear drawer. It is guarded.
You little old freaky bitch trying to touch somebody's underwear. I'm going to be looking at you with three eyes
when she's not around and be like, now
I'm going to entertain some of her tricks with one of my shows. Head over heels.
Yeah, Peppermint. Honey, they call me Butterscotch because I stay in your mouth and you can suck on me. And you like to unwrap me at church.
That's the kind of candy you spit out.
For that alone, I'm not even giving you bitches the fucking keys. You are now banished from New York City forever, bitch. You ain't getting no keys coming up in there. You better go try somebody else's. You done messed up drag con, bitch.
Like Harlem.
Service, Vivacious. We're supposed to be guests of Peppermint.
You have not, nor ever will be, a guest of Peppermint's apartment. New York City ever. Does not cater
you
to
are
that Midwest
banished.
Crowd.
You are banished. Banished, bitch.
I'll see you on Heart Island, girl. For your opening number of DragCon.
Bye, girl.
Banished.
I love you and adore you, but I have to get up early in the morning, so I must bid you adieu.
Adieu to you.
I'm going to walk
Make sure
Jesse,
you go so walk Jesse.
I will.
Bye.
Bye.
We want to remind folks, we love you. We are sorry Pose is wrapping things up, but there's a new season of Cooking with Drag Queens coming to YouTube with a certain fierce queen named Vivacious.
Vivacious NYC.
What are we going to be making entity. With her? Well, you guys just have to watch out, but you can get a sneak peek.
Is it jerk chicken?
Not maybe. We don't know. I don't know.
Maybe.
Who knows what the future holds? But you can get sneak peeks of our episodes and get little behind the scenes previews on Patreon, patreon.com/feastoffun. I am Fausto Fernos.
I'm Mark Fillion.
The podcast is concluded. We shall be chatting with you very soon.
Tens, tens, tens.
Bye, everyone.
Bye.